Hey, this is Chip, and since we recorded this interview with Bev, the details of the Uganda trip, sponsored by KLYT Radio, have began to come into focus. The dates are here. We'll be in country May 1st through 14th of 2023, leaving Albuquerque on the last day of April, April 30th, spending 14 days in country. The cost of the trip is clear now, $3,000 per person, and that includes airfare, which could fluctuate slightly either way before they're purchased, and all ground transportation, all lodging, all food, and all the contribution to the crusade event, which includes rental of chairs and a tent and sound systems and et cetera. Now, we'll also have a free day, a day and a half really. We'll be spending time at a wonderful game safari in Uganda, and you'll see possibly the Big Four. We'll wait and see what happens with that. But the KLYT Uganda trip is going to happen. The nightmare of COVID is over, and we're going back to the field. I'll be leading the trip myself. And if you're interested in coming along and you want more information about an application, just drop me an email today at chip.lusko@calvaryabq.org. That's chip.lusko@calvaryabq.org. And I hope you'll consider coming with me to Uganda in 2023.
From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams. I'm in studio with Chip Lusko, and all the way across the water, we have Bev Rich joining us as well with Called Christians in Uganda. Hi, Bev.
Hello. How are you guys today?
Hey, Bev. Good to hear your voice. Our agenda today is very simple. I know it's very late for you in Africa. We just want to get an update on, first of all, your surgery, your summer in the States, and then we'll talk about an upcoming mission trip. That's the plan of attack today, as you know.
That sounds great. Well, my surgery went really well. I had strong legs and a great surgeon and lots of prayer cover, and they called me the poster child for knee replacement healing. So I'm really excited about the way that went. And then I got back to Uganda, and the mission is just, I don't want to spoil anything, but we're at peace for the first time in a long time. And the ministries are growing. Now that COVID is over, or pretty much over, people are just flocking to hear the gospel. It's so exciting. I can't tell you how exciting it is. And we added three more prisons that we teach in. And so things are, at the moment, going really well. It's really exciting.
Well, let's circle back to your physical health. So knee replacement is no small thing. And
no.
How is your mobility? Because you're in a very, active environment.
Well, I can bend my knee almost where it started before. There's just some pain in the scar. I can squat down and stand back up, which I wasn't able to do before. And my mobility is actually really great. I'm almost normal, and that's kind of exciting. It kind of pops every now and then. It goes, but oh well. I can live with that.
Bev, you're bionic now.
Yes, yes, I am, and I'm probably going to be double bionic in another 2 years, so that's the way it goes.
That's fantastic. Hey, Bev, tell us a little bit about Called Christians. You mentioned that since COVID's over, the ministries are growing, and you're back to doing the ministry that you've been doing there for many years.
Well, Called Christians was started by Jay and Sonny McLaughlin in 1991, and they have a church on the compound. It was Calvary Chapel Jinja. We went through some real struggles, and someone took our name legally but not morally. And so now the church on the compound is called the Bridge Calvary Chapel. I'm not over it anymore because I'm a woman. So they're a separate entity from us, but they're still on the Called Christians compound. One of our main ministries is in the prisons. We teach Bible in 7 prisons 2 days a week, and in 3 other prisons 1 day a week, men and women's prisons. So we get to teach between 2,000 and 3,000 prisoners usually every week, which is pretty exciting. And we run a hospital bus for the close prisons, and we take their prisoners that are too sick to be treated in their infirmaries. We take them to the hospital, get them treated by their medicines, and take them back. And the prisoners used to get out and come to Jesse, my late husband, and say, "We don't get any teaching like this out in the village. Come and start a church in my village." And Jess would say, "Well, I'm only one man, so I can't do that. Let me start a school, and you guys come here, and I'll teach you, and you go start churches." And that's how our school of ministry got started. And in 2004, we were able to buy this huge building next door, but it had about 80 squatters in it. And even before then, most of the people in there were street kids and like widows with many, many orphans. And so we had already started supporting them for school and food and things like that. And so supporting kids and raising them up through school, we were never an orphanage, but we've probably raised up 300 kids over the years. And we try to get them not only through high school, but also through a trade school and or university. And most of the kids end up in ministry in one way or the other, either with us or somewhere else besides their regular jobs. Then we have the usual women's ministries and children's ministries and, you know, just everywhere. We teach in villages and we have conferences, so we stay busy, busy, busy. I have 7 vehicles and sometimes they're all out in ministry at one time.
Well, that's really exciting, Bev. Chip, you've got a special trip planned for May 1st. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I want to get more information because for our long-term listeners, they know Bev. We're big fans of the Called Christians and Bev Rich. But for our new folks at NABQ Connect, Jim, we're talking to somebody in Africa right now, and she sounds as good as you do.
Yes. No, she sounds like she's clear as day. And, of course, last time you were here, which was right before your surgery, you were here in Albuquerque. You came in with Ann Wibbenmeyer, and that was fun to talk with her as well. She does quite a bit of ministry with you, and she updates the website and all of those different things. Bev, what do people need to know about the ministry? You are an NGO, a non-government agency, a Christian ministry. How can our listeners support you and find out more about you?
Well, we have a website. It's calledchristians.org, and we try and put our updates there. You can support through there, or you can support through Calvary Church in Albuquerque. We always need support. Like I said, we raise up a lot of children. We, during COVID, probably fed 5,000 families. There was no food. You couldn't grow food in the towns, and you weren't allowed to travel to the villages to get food. And then this year, just in the last 2 months, we've been in a terrible drought, and most of the people in the north were starving. And so again, through an incredible donor from Albuquerque, they gave us $10,000, and we fed about 12 different churches because they had absolutely no food. And they've planted, it started raining, and they've planted seeds now for vegetables. So they'll have vegetables in another 2 weeks or so, but they won't have any staple foods for about another 2 to 3 months. So our main focus is, raising up disciples who raise up disciples who raise up disciples. We're very focused on sharing the word of God and the love of Christ, no matter how we have to do it. You know, we teach and teach and teach, but we also help physically. And so, yeah, and so for the Called Christians website and for Calvary Church, those are two good ways to find out about us or to donate, because we always can use some help financially and with prayers.
And I want to emphasize, Bev, that those who do give, and our audience here has been generous, and we want to even see more of that in the future. But I want to just give a testimony that I've been to your campus, and I've known you for years and seen you here and over there. And I want to tell you what's happening there is phenomenal. It's a amazing campus. I went to the prisons with you, and that was quite an experience, believe me.
Yes.
And we went, my wife went over and went to the hospitals, and we're privileged to be a part of this project.
Well, I'm so grateful. We struggled many years after Jess passed away with finances in particular, and you and your wife and the website and so many things have helped us so much. And so trust me, I'm very grateful to you and to all of our supporters. Particularly, I mean, we have the most supporters from Albuquerque, and they've just been so faithful. In January, in February, I will have been here 25 years, and some of those people started donating to us 25 years ago. And we're just blessed. We're just so, so blessed by the people that pray for us and that support us financially and that take care of us when we come home and all those things. We have an amazing family of believers in the U.S. It's amazing.
Well, we're going to talk about an opportunity to go to Uganda, but take a break here, I want to say that, you know, investing in kingdom projects is like buying stock, and we're making literally an investment in eternity. And we have to, the Bible talks about using wisdom in what you invest in. And when you have a portfolio financially on earth, you pick different stocks. Some of them are blue chip, some of them are long-term, some are real estate, whatever it might be. Well, I want to tell you that Called Christians is a blue chip stock. There are some investments you can make that there's no danger of it going anywhere but up. And that's what I feel about Called Christians.
Well, and Chip, what about the experience, not only to help them financially, but you mentioned that you're going to talk about a trip that you have planned. I want you to talk about missions and how missions, maybe even Bev would chime in on this. How does missions change you as a person? When you go to another country, things are not the way they are in America. Is it shocking? Is it motivating? Tell me what you feel when you go to another country.
Well, I do want Bev to chime in, but I'll say this. You know, I've been on dozens of mission trips all over the world, and they're the most enriching and challenging and inspiring things I've ever done. And when you go, you know, it's like you get to a place, even a second world, which is a developing nation. And it's like Coronado burning the boats. You're not leaving for 2 or 3 weeks or a month. And you realize, man, there's no 7-Elevens. You know, you're here for the duration. And it's a shock to your flesh because you're used to all this gratification and convenience and opportunity. And all of a sudden, it's not there, but there's something deeper.
Mm. Bev, did you have that same experience? Because you went out to that ministry before you and Jess became the directors of it.
Yes, Jess was in the School of Ministry. It was called School of Ministry at what was then Calvary Albuquerque. And for their graduation, you know, the Bible schools there need to go on a missions outreach. And because Calvary knew that Jess and I were called to missions already, that's why he was in the school, they allowed me to go on the outreach as well. So we led a team of 21 students to Uganda to work with Jay and Sonny. And we were here 5 weeks. And, you know, you hear over and over again, oh, it'll change your life. Oh, it'll change your life. Well, it changed our lives. We were here in 1997. Jay and Sonny asked us to come back and work with them. God was clearer than you can even imagine that we were supposed to be back out here within 6 months. So we sold everything we had and moved back out here, and we were here by February of 98. And it did change my life. And I have to tell you, you said, what impact does it have on you? We pray that it has a huge impact, of course, on the people that we minister to. But I myself personally have been through some pretty hair-raising things here, such as being shot with an AK-47, and I still have bullet pieces in my eye from that one, and then losing my husband, and he's buried here. But through it all, the thing that comes through the strongest for me is God's sovereignty. God is sovereign. He has all of us in his hands. and we don't have to worry about anything. I used to be a real worrier. I don't worry. Sometimes I'm a little in knots about how can I pay for this, because at the end of the month, you know, you still have to pay the bills. But I don't worry about the outcome of anything anymore, because I see God in every single thing that we do around here. Everything.
Well, this is Chip Lusko in studio with Jim Williams. Jim, we're not going to take a break. We want to get Bev to bed. But we, it's well past midnight in Uganda. And thank you, Bev, for staying up. But I want to talk about a few things. First of all, Bev, and just cover your ears for a minute. This woman is a hero of the faith. Mm. And we're talking about somebody who you could write books about. But I would say, Jim, about the mission experience, two things. One, you know, we talk about, you know, going overseas and changing the world. Truth of the matter is, it changes us. I've never come back from the Philippines or from Ghana or Central America or wherever and not been. I land in America and go, wow. I mean, it inspires me. It excites me. It motivates me. And secondly, I've really made an effort with my children and now my grandchildren to make sure they get on the mission field. They get out of the mall, they get to the mission field. Mm. And I would say that's been a real primary a pivot point for each of them. And they look back on those times and going, and you know, Levi was in the Philippines and went into the hospital with asthma and almost, it was life-threatening. But, you know, that's what we're called to do, and to count the cost and to pay the price.
Well, and Chip, you talk about the changes that the way God changes us when we go somewhere like that. Do you see miraculous things happen when you're on the mission field? And when I say miraculous, I'm not necessarily thinking about, you know, divine healing and things, although I've heard many stories about that happening as well. But do you see hearts change? Do you see people hearing the gospel for the first time and coming to faith in the Lord?
Absolutely. But, you know, Jim, one of the things that has impressed me, even beyond that, and I have done altar calls in Ghana in the pouring rain in a soccer stadium at 11 o'clock, and hundreds came forward. But you know what really, really impressed me, Jim, is to see that the body of Christ is universal. Wherever you go, there he is. It does, I mean, I've been to almost 40 countries, and it never fails. You meet the body of Christ. And that is like, this is not a Western religion. This is universal.
Yes. Bev, I want to ask you about the people of Uganda. What's special about them to you?
Uganda is known for hospitality. When they come to America, even though we are a very hospitable people, they feel like we're incredibly rude at times. When you go somewhere, even if someone has nothing, you usually leave with a big bunch of bananas or chicken or something. You are always invited in to have a cup of tea, even if it's just a little brown water with sugar in it, or they'll take their last money and go buy you a soda to welcome the visitors. Visitors are known as a blessing here. Even if they eat you out of house and home, if you start to kind of complain, they'll always tell you, oh, visitors are a blessing. Visitors, and they are. They are hospitable, friendly, eager at this point to learn about Christ. They've been taught some really bad things. We've got some young men in our Bible school right now, and one of them came to me 2 days ago and he said, I can't believe how much preachers here have lied to me in the past. They don't teach the Bible. And it's like, you know, you're right. And we're so focused on teaching the real word of God. And when people hear it, you know, some people just want the entertainment, but when people hear the word of God, they come to hear it. And it's just like Calvary there in Albuquerque. What? There are like 16,000 people or something, and they come because the word of God is taught. And that's what we do too. And that's what draws people in.
So
it's what changes lives.
So true, Bev. You know, I'm thinking, Jim, about, I think my second trip to Africa, I was in Ghana. And I'm not a real touchy-feely person, Bev. And I was with, I remember Pastor Ransford in Kampala, I think it was, and we're walking down the street, and he held my hand. Mm-hmm. And I stiffened up like, you know, But you sit at a stoplight and people come over to your window and just are friendly. And your first response is, what do they want? And really what they want is a relationship. And you're like, they're not hitting you up for money or anything. They're so friendly.
Well, I think it's a already blessing me to hear about the experiences you've had. How can our listeners have that experience?
Well, here we go. So Bev, we're talking about, this has been put off for, gosh, 2.5 years now.
Yes.
I mean, COVID has been catastrophic for short-term missions. It's been so difficult for missionaries doing sabbaticals and going back and forth. It's been a nightmare. Would you agree, Bev?
Absolutely, in every way, not just with short-term missions, but with even churches. You know, our churches were completely shut down for a long time, and the longest school closing in the year, 22 months, I mean, in the world, 22 months of school closing. So yeah, COVID has been, just horrible.
Well, I believe God will restore what the palmer worm and the locust, as Joel says, has devoured, because we've put off trips, many trips, and one of the big ones is to come see you. And so we're rescheduling that May 1st through 14th of 2023, and we're taking a team of probably under 20, and I'll be leading it along with some really skilled and veteran missions people, because this is going to be hardcore. This is not going to, if you're thinking tourist trip, forget it. This is going to be in the bush. We're taking our tents, we're taking our generators, we're taking our chairs, and we're taking buses, and we'll be doing missions work, we're doing conferences, we're doing hospitals there in Jinja before we go, but it's going to be a full-bore mission trip.
You mentioned something earlier in the interview, Bev, about meeting the physical needs of people. I want to read James 2, verse 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body. And then he asked this rhetorical question, what good is that? And I'm so blessed that you're actually meeting the physical needs of people at the same time sharing the gospel. And that's just one tool to develop relationships and have them trust the real Jesus. And Bev, the country is, I don't know if inundated is the correct word, but there are a lot of false teachers in that country. There have been a lot of non-government agencies that have kind of invaded in some way. They've been big fundraising entities, but they haven't really done much to help the people. But that's not the case with Called Christians. You've really invested there. You love the people there. You care for the people there, and their care has been returned to you as well, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I have a family here. It's amazing. I have several young men and women that I call my sons and daughters, and probably 1,000 people call me mama. And so we really are one big family. This week, some of the pastors that Jesse raised up just decided to come and visit me. And we went and had lunch together and talked about old times. And so, yes, when you're saying the body of Christ is everywhere, the body of Christ is here. And when I think about being here 25 years, you know, that's more than a third of my life. And I was just hearing a devotion this morning about how the missionaries were so devoted in the past that when they packed up to go on the mission field, they packed all their belongings in their coffin because they knew they wouldn't be coming back. Mm. And I'm not like those missionaries, but the dedication that people have to sharing the true Jesus, as you said, the gospel of Christ, that is what we need so much, because there is so much false gospel. It's one of our major problems here is teaching the truth so that it overcomes the false gospel.
Well, that's not unusual in the New Testament. Many of the letters from Paul address issues just like that, Galatians, Colossians, etc. So Bev, Jim hit a real hot spot when he talked about physically manifesting God's love. Talk about walking into what is a hospital like in Uganda?
Oh my goodness. These days it's a little bit better in some places, but in many places well, for instance, there's just bed, 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 bed. There aren't separate rooms in most of the hospitals in Uganda, and you just are side by side by side. There's no privacy. And if you don't have an attendant who sleeps on a mat on the floor by your bed, and that attendant bathes you, takes you to the toilet, buys your medications for you, buys your food for you, the hospitals don't do any of those things. And many of them are just filthy. People die in the hospitals. There's always a push to try and make the hospitals better. When we first came here, there actually in Main Hospital was a trough that ran down the head of all the beds, and they would throw all of the infected things and bodily fluids and all those in there all day long. And then twice a day, the nurses would take a big bucket of soapy water and just whoosh down that trough, and then it would pour down and out on the ground on the other side. And then the ground was never cleaned up. And it was, you just went to the hospitals then to die. But little by little, they're getting better, but they have no equipment. You know, and then so often the equipment and the drugs are stolen. Hospitals here, the government hospitals, are supposed to be free. Well, you go there and they'll write you a prescription, but then you have to go fill your prescription somewhere else because the hospitals don't have any drugs. It's a difficult place. It's a frightening place for most people.
Yeah. I saw some pictures Larissa took, and it was just a straw mat they were staying on. So, Bev, let's, before you head off, let's talk about the rough agenda we're going to go into with our mission trip. We will do work in Jinja, which is the hospitals, the prisons, and on campus there Called Christians. But then we're heading out, and talk a little bit about what we had planned before.
Well, we hope to go to 3 or 4 different villages and do conferences there. And it will be up to the giftings of your people whether we do a conference in the villages and one here on campus on godliness, or, you know, going deeper in the word, or living what you say you believe, you know, something like that. Or if your group wants to do separate men and women in the conferences and just talk to them specifically about godly men and godly women, and then bring them together at the end all together, you know, for all of it. But it's going to be Bible teaching, and in the prisons it's Bible teaching. Now, if they want to do some things like entertainment, like skits or singing, or, you know, their own devotions, things like that in the prisons, we can do that. We have lots of children's ministries that, if, you know, people are really uncomfortable with adults, we have, well, 80% of our population is under the age of 19. So there are lots and lots of people to be with under the age of 19. So it just all depends on the giftings of your team, but it's going to be, as you said, hardcore, serious teaching the word of God wherever we go.
Great. And Chip, if you're not sure you're called to the mission field, would it be prudent for you to go on a short-term mission trip May 1st to Uganda?
I believe so. Everybody's not called to be a quote-unquote missionary. I personally believe everybody should try it, and maybe they come back. And, you know, Paul talked about those who go and those who send and those who water and those who cultivate. So maybe they come back and be a sender going forth. But I think almost everybody should have that, at least an experience, to get a grip on what it means to be outside of America. We're talking about America's 5% of the world's population.
Yes.
And sometimes we're so America-centric. The church should not revolve around the United States.
Wow. Bev, and we're very self-centric as well in Western countries. And to take a mission trip, even if you never plan on going back on another one, it still, as I said earlier, it changes your life because it changes your perspective. You know, we often don't think that we're all about us. But in the long run, when we see another culture, we kind of realize that often we really are all about us, and we need to be all about Christ and the kingdom and winning souls so that heaven gets bigger and bigger and bigger with people.
Yeah. Well, you can be sure. If you go on a trip that I lead, we're going to work hard. We're going to pray like crazy. We're going to have some fun. There are a couple of free days. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to the head end of the Nile, which is phenomenal right there at Lake Victoria in Jinja, where the Nile literally bubbles up in Lake Victoria and goes the wrong way to Egypt. And then we'll have at the end of it, if you survive our trip, we will see some of the big four.
Yes.
The giraffes and tigers and whatnot.
Bev, Chip mentioned that it's pretty early in the morning there. What time is it now?
Oh, my.
1:42 a.m.
Beverly, we love you. Sleep in. You have our permission.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you, Bev. God bless you.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it so much. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
And Chip, thank you. What a fun interview to talk to Bev. And looking forward to the May 1st trip. You can go to calledchristians.org and find out more details in the coming months, and all the details will be posted, travel and all of those, that information.
Absolutely. Hey, we're not done yet. Let's take a break. I have more things to talk to you about.
All right. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
The Healer Tour with Casting Crowns, Ann Wilson, and Kane is coming to the Rio Rancho Events Center Friday, September 23rd. Welcomed by KLYT.
I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul.
Thanks Transparent Productions for their support of this event. Casting Crowns at the Rio Rancho Events Center, Friday, September 23rd.
Crazy people trust in Jesus, following him wherever he leads us.
Casting Crowns on the way, Friday, September 23rd. TransparentProductions.com. KLYT, the light of New Mexico.
Crazy people.
I'm Kelly, your teacher's assistant for Bible School of the Air. The Bible and the information contained within is of primary importance and deserves our undivided attention. With all of the bad news, fake news, and biased news we consume on a daily basis, it's critical for us to consume the good news that only comes from the pages of Scripture. In addition to the daily lineup of quality Bible teachers heard on KLYT, we also purpose to create an atmosphere of learning while growing in our relationship with God. Each Saturday, starting at noon, KLYT provides verse-by-verse teaching from Chuck Smith, Chuck Missler, and Skip Heitzig. Classes wrap up in final during a Q&A session with Scott Richards. I'll look forward to you joining me Saturdays from noon to 4 during Bible School of the Air here on KLYT. It's tuition-free. Every week is a great week to start. You'll be glad you did.
Listen to Skip Heitzig as he speaks to the issue, always only Jesus.
He who has seen me, finish the verse, has seen the Father. Remember that? He who has seen me has seen the Father. God never communicated more clearly who he is than in the person of Jesus Christ.
How amazing. History and calendars revolve around the birth and life of a Jewish carpenter 2,000 years ago. Always only Jesus.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father.
Find more from Skip about Always Only Jesus. Go to connectwithskip.com.
Hello, I'm Morgan Jackson with Faith Comes by Hearing. There was a shocking sight at one of our Bible listening groups in Africa when a woman from the Tepe tribe arrived with an arrow embedded in her forehead. She had become a Christian by listening to the audio Bible in her mother tongue. And when her tribal leaders demanded she offer a sacrifice to their gods, she refused to worship any god but Jesus. The leaders were so angry, they shot her with an arrow, piercing her face. But God's word had already pierced her heart. Audio Bibles bring the gospel to previously unreached tribes and disciple believers who are willing to face persecution for Christ. Because faith comes by hearing.
to watch videos and read testimonies about people around the world hearing the gospel in their own heart language, go to faithcomesbyhearing.com.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
Did you know that the Bible is full of promises? Somebody counted and added them up, and it actually came out to 7,147 different promises made from God to people, from God to individuals, from God to nations, and promises that God has made to His people, the church. Like Peter said, this is a book full of exceedingly great and precious promises. Promises that you and I can stand on. Promises concerning forgiveness, concerning heaven, concerning God's ability to take difficult things and make them good. Promises concerning God's promise to be with you in the present moment, that He'll never leave you and never forsake you. Take some time to go through God's Word and to highlight the promises. He has the ability to keep His promises, too. No one can stop Him from doing what He said He will do.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilesko.com.
Whether you're trying your best to serve your family or seeking to honor God in your relationships or wondering how to defend your church against false teachers, know this. Scripture has everything you need to respond to those challenges. And this week, John MacArthur shows you the power of Scripture's teaching in a series titled, The New Testament, Beginning to End on Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KLYT.
Hey, this is Chip, and since we recorded this interview with Bev, the details of the Uganda trip, sponsored by KLYT Radio, have began to come into focus. The dates are here. We'll be in country May 1st through 14th of 2023, leaving Albuquerque on the last day of April, April 30th, spending 14 days in country. The cost of the trip is clear now, $3,000 per person, and that includes airfare, which could fluctuate slightly either way before they're purchased, and all ground transportation, all lodging, all food, and all the contribution to the crusade event, which includes rental of chairs and a tent and sound systems and et cetera. We'll also have a free day, a day and a half really. We'll be spending time at a wonderful game safari in Uganda, and you'll see possibly the Big Four. We'll wait and see what happens with that. But the KLYT Uganda trip is going to happen. The nightmare of COVID is over, and we're going back to the field. I'll be leading the trip myself, and if you're interested in coming along and you want more information about an application, just drop me an email today at chip.lusko@calvaryabq.org. That's chip.lusko@calvaryabq.org, and I hope you'll consider coming with me to Uganda in 2023.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. We had Bev Rich on the phone earlier, Chip, and what an amazing woman. You mentioned that she's a superstar when it comes to missions, and she really is.
Well, she's a rock star. I mean, she's just got a gifting, and what she's done in laying her life down there is amazing. You know, I heard a story from Tim Keller recently, Jim, and he talked about a man with a missions heart from England, and he was a wealthy man, but he forsook having a family, gave up the family fortune, and headed off for Argentina on a boat. Well, the boat wrecked, and he alone was shipwrecked on an island, and the rest, some of the crew and the passengers were rescued, but he was stuck on this island, and no one ever came to him, and eventually he starved to death because there was no natural source of food, and he had some provisions with him, but he did have the energy to leave a journal, and his last entry was, "This has been a privilege." And like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. You know, here's a guy who coulda, woulda, shoulda, and back in England, never really got to his mission destination, and yet his walk with the Lord gave him the confidence that he had done the right thing. And that's an amazing attitude, don't you think?
I do. Chip, just yesterday, I'm talking with a friend of mine, pretty young guy, early 50s, very successful business person. He and his wife are best friends. They've done everything together. And suddenly she's developed a sensitivity, and I won't be real more specific just to be discreet about it, but she's not able really to go outside and do different things. And I didn't know how to talk to my friend about that. And he sensed that, and he said, Jim, I want you to know something. My wife has told me that in these days, she is so much closer to the Lord. Same thing you're talking about. Something doesn't go the way you want it to be or the way you don't expect it. And yet, if you draw close to God, he draws closer to you.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm working on a Bible study right now called How Good Is Your God? And it's kind of a twin teaching to my other one, How Great Is Your God? And the question is how good is God? Is God good? Is something being challenged, yes, not just by the world or by the demons or by Satan? Christians in the church ask the question, how could a good God allow this? And you have to realize how powerful a challenge that is. For a child of the Lord to say, God, are you really good if you allow this? And I've come to the conclusion a long time ago, God operates on a different priority schedule than we do, timetable than we do, and value system than we do. And to say, God, how could you be good and allow this is really a powerful, almost an insult.
Well, I think, you know, there's people that think that our, the way we feel, our desires should direct our lives. And I think that's one of the problems that we have is, I think the Bible talks about our minds being renewed and our minds and our spirits directing, what we do and what our desires are. They become, your desires become, God's desires become your desires when your mind and your spirit is in charge of directing that. So I feel so amazed when I hear Bev talk or I hear you talk about going into a community. I mean, let me tell you, one of my favorite things to do right now, I know you'd love to go up to Denver and watch the Broncos play. I'd love to go to Las Vegas and watch the Raiders play.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, I knew that would disgust you. But what the reason I bring that up is because, you know, making a few trips here, a few trips there recreationally, skipping a few times to Starbucks, whatever it might be, you might be able to put together a pretty neat trip and go experiencing something that you've never experienced before. Maybe God is in fact calling you as he did to Bev and Jess Rich. Jess, and Bev didn't get too much into the specifics, but she lost her husband to malaria. And
actually a heart attack.
Oh, it was a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And I know he had malaria. I was just thinking took him. But the bottom line is he was there and the people of Uganda were the people that he loved and he's buried there and she's continued there and that's where she's called to be. So there may be somebody that goes on this trip with you on May 1st. And they may have exactly that same calling, and I know Bev could use the help.
Absolutely. And you may be called to any of a variety of needs, because the Bible says, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. And I found that to be so true, Jim, because it's a rare person who's willing to forsake the conveniences and pleasures and luxuries of a first world existence and go. Let me tell you a story about a trip I took with my daughter, Becca, to the Philippines. And we ended up in Ilongapo, which is up above Manila. And I mean, the Philippines is a train wreck. I mean, wow. It's so disorganized. But anyhow, we ended up in this place with some missionaries in Ilongapo, and they took us out to a garbage dump. And I said, why are you taking us? They said, well, when we first came here, we lived here. And Jim, I'll tell you, we went to this place, and I mean, it was so awful, so despicable, so detestable, and it's just garbage. And they said, we lived here. And the woman goes, I had my baby over there. I wouldn't even move. It was that bad, and you've never seen anything like it. But that takes a special calling in your life, and not everyone's called to that. I'm not suggesting it, but I am saying everybody should experience at least a fragment of that.
What about the other ministry things that Bev could use people praying for her. You could be part of the sender team. How does that work? What kinds of other ministry pieces are there when you have an overseas missionary in the field?
Well, look, Jim, at the end of the day, we're going to give an account, mm-hmm. and there's going to be rewards. And I'm telling you, Bev's going to be in the front row. I mean, if it works that way, I'm not sure. It's kind of a human deal. But, you know, God is not unjust to forget our labor of love. And the Bible says everything we do will be rewarded. He's not unjust to forget our giving. And Daniel says those that are turned many to righteousness will be rewarded phenomenally. So yeah, that's part of my motivation. I'm not working for rewards, but I know that's why we're here. We have this brief shining moment. Now, we have to take care of our family. We have to do all the stuff in our jobs. But, you know, we have to be careful not to be entrapped by that.
I have on my heart right now people that are listening to the show that may be close to retirement. Is that a person of retirement age too old to become a missionary to be part of that?
You know, I just started figuring it out recently, you know, the whole life deal. So, no, I'm going hard. I mean, retirement to me, or change of pastures, maybe a gearing down perhaps, but I want to go, I want to finish well. You know, General Boykin said, I want to slide into heaven with bloody knees. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to be hanging out and playing shuffleboard in St. Petersburg. Not that that would be wrong. For me, it wouldn't be correct. So, yeah, I'm inviting people to come along with me. I mean, this would be a great trip. We're doing other trips in the future. This is going to be presented by KLYT. Mm-hmm. This is a radio trip, and we'll have others going forward. I'm spending time with Slave in Macedonia in a prep trip in October. But if you have a heart for it, come on.
KLYT.FM is our website.
It'll be up there.
And we also mentioned calledchristians.org. Mm. Go in and check out these missions and what's going on. You mentioned Slave Volosanov. I mean, Slave called us up. He said, Chip, I could really use a van. Mm-hmm. And our listener stepped up, mm-hmm. and sure enough, he was able to get a van and using it every day for ministry.
I'll be driving in with him all over Bulgaria and Croatia in October, so thank you to those who gave.
Yes. And, of course, you know, Croatia's not that far away from Ukraine.
Mm.
And the needs of refugees and the emptiness that people in the former Soviet states felt for decades, that hole is now being filled. Even though there's trauma, Christ is now coming into people's hearts.
Well, no. Look, if you were born in America, especially post-war America, the boomers, millennials, Gen X, whatever, you won the lottery already. I mean, in terms of humankind, we've already, and to think that we still complain and whine, you know, and compare our cars to whatever is a big mistake. And that's one thing that happens when you go over and just go across the border just to Tijuana or Juarez, you go, whoa.
Yes.
I mean, I should be very grateful.
Chip, sharing the gospel with Americans, there are people like Skip Heitzig that are called to do that. He does that every day. And in the pulpit, he teaches Bible studies. He does all those things. You do some of that here in the States. How is it different when you share the gospel with somebody in Uganda? Is it
easier? It's easier.
They don't have the same perspective that an American
I mean, that's
has.
Not, you know, completely true, but generally it's true, Jim. I mean, you're not fighting that battle of, you know, some people have said that there's a persecution of deprivation and there's a persecution of provision, and we're suffering the latter. We're provided for so much, you know, the grocery stores and the malls and whatnot. That's a level of persecution.
How is this radio ministry so important to helping these mission organizations?
Man, I love this radio station. I mean, my goal is to get God's word out. As I listen to it, Jim, I'm just trying to be faithful to that call and to supporting people like Bev, like Clive Welsh, like Slave, like Lamars. And, you know, we're a lifeline, one of their lifelines. And that's so important to me.
Well, you've brought in a lot of different missionaries into the program. We've called them on the phone. I'm not sure anybody's been as good a sport as Bev. 1:30 in the morning, she's a pretty good sport.
Dude, she's something.
Yeah, she really is. And what does Bev feel in terms of her own heart? I know she said she doesn't worry anymore, but I know her heart breaks when she sees people suffering.
I will tell you this. I know Bev very well, and she does go through discouragement. And when she gets support, when she gets financial donations, when she gets emails, it just lifts her life up. So if you can just text her off calledchristians.org, give or just pray, it's a life changer for her in Uganda.
Is it literally a ministry chip to be an encourager to somebody like Bev? Send emails, send written letters. I've heard that people that are gone for a long time, they love the old style written United States Postal Service letters, those physical letters, that those are special.
Jim, she spent 25 years over there. It's a rarity to get her back on sabbatical. She came here only because of a knee surgery. I mean, absolutely. If people can sit down right now, send that email, send a postcard, give a minor donation or a major one, it's a vote that says, I believe in you, Bev, and continue.
You're putting together the trip right now, May 1st. Details will be available at klyt.fm and at calledchristians.org. Yep. When do you expect to have most of that information available?
On this show, it'll be up and we'll go live here.
Amen.
Yep.
Well, Chip, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate you listening to ABQ Connect, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time. Thanks for joining us.
Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.
Hey, this is Chip, and since we recorded this interview with Bev, the details of the Uganda trip, sponsored by KLYT Radio, have began to come into focus. The dates are here. We'll be in country May 1st through 14th of 2023, leaving Albuquerque on the last day of April, April 30th, spending 14 days in country. The cost of the trip is clear now, $3,000 per person, and that includes airfare, which could fluctuate slightly either way before they're purchased, and all ground transportation, all lodging, all food, and all the contribution to the crusade event, which includes rental of chairs and a tent and sound systems and et cetera. We'll also have a free day, a day and a half really. We'll be spending time at a wonderful game safari in Uganda, and you'll see possibly the Big Four. We'll wait and see what happens with that. But the KLYT Uganda trip is going to happen. The nightmare of COVID is over, and we're going back to the field. I'll be leading the trip myself, and if you're interested in coming along and you want more information about an application, just drop me an email today at chip.lusko@calvaryabq.org. That's chip.lusko@calvaryabq.org, and I hope you'll consider coming with me to Uganda in 2023.